Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Our guest today is Michael Nick. He's the author of ROI Selling, as well as president and founder of ROI for Sales Incorporated. He's taught selling techniques, developed sales tools, and implemented sales processes at companies throughout the world, including Hewlett-Packard, Microsoft, Great Plains, NEC, Emerson, Oracle, S1 Corporation, Rockwell Automation, Autodesk, 3E Company, iMation, and TSYS. Michael's author of the new book, The Key to the C-Suite, What You Need to Know to Sell Successfully to Top Executives. Michael, welcome to Edgewise.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Michael, in your book, you say that the way businesses make buying decisions has changed significantly in the last decade. Now, what's driven that change?
Predominantly, the economy changed. The dot-com era, for example, everybody was buying, nobody cared. There was never an economic impact study.
Right.
I have money, I want to spend it. It was that budgeting program where if you don't spend it, you lose it. With the change in the economy, people are more frugal in the way they buy, which in turn has driven the need to be sold.
Mm-hmm.
What companies want now is for you to be able to research them. They want you to know more about them. They've changed the way they've approached you. It used to be mid-level managers doing the buying. Now it's boardroom buying.
Right.
The boardroom requires you to understand their new language, and that language is more about economic impact. You're going to see even more stringent buying changes over the next few years. But if you track it back 50 years, about every 5 to 10 years, there's a change in the way people buy. Think about it. If you were selling in the dot-com era, it was about buying people lunch and working on my handicap. HP taught courses in buying wine, for example. Today, it's more about selling. You have to sell. You have to be able to understand a company's problems. You have to be able to articulate your value. And you have to be able to make the leap between your value and the economic impact in their business.
Hmm.
And how you know is they're not buying from you.
Right.
I mean, let's go to lunch. Nobody has time for lunch anymore. Let's play golf. Nobody plays golf
right.
anymore. There's some of it, but it doesn't happen like it used to. You had companies renting corporate jets to fly home from a sales trip. Those days are over. They're just done.
Now, is there a dollar value, a strategic value that some of these purchasing decisions have to pass? Because I can't imagine every single purchasing decision being governed by the board.
The biggest change you're going to see in the buying patterns of corporations today is an economic buyer is involved in the process. There's going to be a CFO or somebody involved in that process. Now, the difference today than, say, even 2 years ago is they're involved in the front end. Whereas years ago, the CFO or the purchasing people, the buyers, came in on the back end of a sale.
Right.
Here's what happens. A CFO or a financial analyst of some sort is doing what we call a value hypothesis up front. So let's say I'm a company buying a new heating, ventilating, cooling system for $20 million. For me to spend $20 million, I'm going to hypothesize the economic impact on my financials. I'm going to look at that and say, where's it hit my balance sheet? Where's it at my income statement? That hypothesis is done up front. So to answer your question, it really is determined by the impact of what it is that they're trying to buy.
Where people are now more concerned with things like total cost of ownership. By their nature, they're more strategic decisions.
They are. And I think what you're going to have to do as a salesman is understand not only your value, but your value's impact on a company's financials.
Now, you note in the book that in order for salespeople to be successful, they have to be able to speak the language of the C-suite.
The difference in the language is, as a sales professional, I want to sell you a product, and I'm going to discuss with you the features and the benefits of my product. And I may even say, my product's going to help you reduce a cost or increase your revenue. And I may be even more specific and say, we impact your labor costs. The problem is, the C-suite doesn't look at it as a labor cost reduction. They look at it as a hit to my operating costs. They look at it as a hit to my net profit, my gross profit, debt to equity, DSOs. There are a number of metrics, probably 40 or 50 in the world, and we define the top 10 to 15 in chapter one. These are the metrics you need to understand. You need to understand the mathematics behind them, and it's very simple math. And then you need to make the leap.
Uh-huh.
Take labor cost reductions and talk about how it hits and impacts a financial statement.
What expectations do senior level managers have of sales professionals that are different from mid-level managers or small business owners?
I think that senior management expects you to know more about them when you get to them. The reason I believe this is there are a whole litany of tools out there in the marketplace. Many of them are free.
Right.
Look at the growth of something like LinkedIn. LinkedIn is
social
an amazing
media. Yep.
tool. Right. Social media. Jigsaw is another one, relatively free, depending upon how you sign up.
Mm-hmm.
What it is if you're trying to get to somebody, say you want to meet president of AMA, I can run the president of AMA through LinkedIn in an advanced search, and it will tell me how many steps away I am from somebody that knows him. These are tools that corporate America is not teaching their sales force. They expect them to go out and find these things on their own, do their own social media, their own blogging, their own tweeting, whatever it might be. Corporate America is missing something here.
Hmm.
The biggest challenge we have today is the use and the training of these social media sales tools. There's so much out there.
So it's knowing the client, but knowing them perhaps deeper and better than you did in the past.
Yeah, that's the first step. One, know who they are, understand their business, using something like Google Alerts even. If you sell to hospitals, you need to know their growth path. You need to know, do they want to add a wing? If you sell to corporate America, you need to know what's going on with their stock. You can look at their financial statements and you can download their annual reports and 10-Ks. Two, understand where they're going and what they're doing. And then third, you need to be able to articulate your value as it affects their business. It has to be an economic impact on their business.
Are there specific sales techniques more likely to influence C-level executives?
If you have an opportunity to look at my blog, roiforsales.com/blog, I talk a lot about how four-year-olds know how to sell. We learn to sell as a four-year-old or even younger, but specifically as a four-year-old. We're walking into, say, McDonald's, and the four-year-old turns to me and says, "When are we coming back?" And I turn and say, "We're not even here yet. What do you mean, when are we coming back?" That's a sales technique. He's already setting the pattern for the next time we come through the door. I say, look, we're in a hurry. You can only have either chicken McNuggets or you can have a cheeseburger. You can't have both. And he says to me, "Oh, how about next time? Can I get both next time?" Once again, I'm being sold on the next time we come in. So we can look around us and there are a lot of techniques that we can pick up from not only our children, but even our spiritual leaders. Priests are some of the greatest salespeople on earth. They're selling you something that no one's ever seen. The techniques that we use to get to the C-suite, you get out of books like Selling to Vito. The techniques you use once you're in the C-suite, though, you get out of this book. Being able to communicate at a different level, being able to articulate your value as it affects their financial, being able to articulate your value as it impacts their future. Mm-hmm. You need to do the research on the future. And being able to simply have a conversation, because you know what? The C-suite are still just people. They're no different than us.
So are you advocating a more informal approach to communication?
I think we have to go back to when we were four-year-olds. We've lost our innocence. We've been beat down so long. Have you ever heard the story about how you train a flea?
No.
I'll tell you the story. You catch the flea, which is a challenge in itself, but this is like getting to the C-suite. You stick the flea in a jar and you put a lid on it, and the flea jumps up and down and up and down and up and down, and it hits the lid. And it keeps hitting the lid until after a while, it just starts jumping lower and lower and lower. You take the top off, and now the flea is trained. It will not jump out of the jar. We're the same way. We come into the world thinking we can climb a mountain. We can sell anybody anything. We can do anything we want. And we're told, as children, you could be anything you want to be. But we get beat up so much along the way that we become trained. We're the flea. We don't want to jump out of the jar anymore. When Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile, no one believed it could be done. You know, the same year that he did it, 12 other people did it.
Exactly.
Two people in the same race. So anything can be done. You just have to get out of that mentality of, I've been told I can't do it for so long.
Absolutely.
Use tools, use technology, use social media, and go back to being a four-year-old. Watch a four-year-old communicate with you. It's amazing.
Oh, yes.
So you should go back to innocence. That's the most important thing.
Okay, here's another question. What are some of the key changes that you think ought to be adopted across the board in sales?
I have 5 suggestions.
And what are these 5?
The first thing is to create something called a value inventory. It's a matrix. You say to yourself, why do people buy from me? Because they buy an emotion and they justify with logic. Then I go on and say, okay, if this is the emotional reason, then what's the logical reason? So I try to make the leap from emotion to logic by quantifying. What's the business issue, pain, or goal? You create this matrix. Why buy? Business issue, pain, or goal? What's my solution? Who are my stakeholders? What value do I deliver? What's the solution? So it's a giant matrix of understanding your value. The second thing is sales tools. You need tools for discovery. You need tools for presentation. And then third, you need a business case.
And what is that?
It's an economic impact study, gathering all the information that you've collected from your prospects, put into one document with a proposal. I believe proposals are dead. I think proposals have been rolled into this economic impact study. Fourth, corporations need to teach social media. Everyone needs to join LinkedIn or some type of media like that. You need to be trained on some of the advanced tools of LinkedIn. Google has amazing power.
It really does. We actually do webcasts on the secrets of Google.
I use Google Alerts all the time. I Google Alert myself because I want to know what's being written about me out there. So I spent a lot of time trying to understand that.
No kidding.
But there's a huge gap in training salespeople on sales tools and technology.
Definitely.
And the fifth thing that's one of the most important things is learn to communicate in the C-suite. Learn the language. Learn the metrics. Learn how to talk about them. And then do the value inventory so that you can make that leap between what you sell, how you sell it, and how it impacts people from a financial standpoint.
We've been speaking to Michael Nick, author of the new book, The Key to the C-Suite, What You Need to Know to Sell Successfully to Top Executives. Michael, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Follow the American Management Association on Twitter to learn about upcoming free programs, the latest news, management insights, and special offers. You can follow us at AMANET. That's AMANET. Hope to tweet to you real soon. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.